Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Penny Nelson. Well, cyber attacks were put into play against the primary opponent of 15-term congressional Republican Dana Rohrabacher, a defender of President Trump and a lawmaker sometimes referred to as Putin's favorite congressman. Rolling Stone D.C. Bureau Chief Andy Kroll broke the story yesterday after getting his hands on emails and forensic records around the interference into the Southern California race. Andy Kroll, thanks for being with us. And how did this cyber attack first come to the FBI's attention?
These attacks on the Kyrstedt for Congress campaign down in Southern California came to the attention of the FBI through a group called the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. Shorthand is the DCCC. And the DCCC learned about these cyber attacks in Southern California from the Kyrstedt campaign itself.
So what form have the attacks taken?
These attacks took the form of what's called a spear phishing attempt. That's a fake email intended to get the recipient to type in their password or some other confidential information. So there was a spear phishing attack on the candidate himself, Hans Kyrstedt, last fall. Last winter, there were multiple attacks on the campaign's website, and then another brief attack on the candidate's company again earlier this year.
Do we have any idea what the reach, what the impact of the attack was?
And as far as the impact on the election results itself, Kyrstedt finished 125 votes short of the top two results in the June 5th primary, which meant that he did not advance to November. The campaign doesn't say, or campaign says that they don't think the hacking affected the result, that they think the result was fair. But obviously, they directed a lot of time and resources to dealing with this. And that's time and resources that could have gone into getting out more votes and pushing out their message to more voters.
Was Congressman Rohrabacher aware that this was going on at the time?
I have no evidence from my reporting that Congressman Rohrabacher knew about this, had any awareness about it, was alerted to what was going on by any party involved. Congressman Rohrabacher is one of the most pro-Russia, pro-Vladimir Putin, not to mention pro-Trump, members of the United States Congress. And Russia, of course, was behind the widespread election interference attempts during the 2016 presidential race. So that's an important bit of context that's there in the piece. And I obviously reached out to his re-election campaign, the Rohrabacher campaign, to see if they wanted to comment, but I did not hear back from them.
Andy Kroll is the D.C. Bureau Chief with Rolling Stone magazine. Moving on to a different front, federal agents arrested a refugee by the name of Omar Amin in Sacramento County yesterday. He's accused of working for al-Qaeda and ISIS in Iraq, where he is alleged to have killed an Iraqi policeman in 2014. Sacramento Bee writer Sam Sifton was in court for Mr. Amin's initial appearance and spoke with the California Report.
The allegations in the Iraqi court documents go far beyond the one murder he allegedly committed. He is described as a leader of AQI and ISIS, as someone who was involved in the finances, who had a Kia Sportage that he drove around with a machine gun perched on the back and black flags flying from it. He's been accused in these documents of planting roadside IEDs and supposedly of capturing soldiers and having them executed on the spot. The judge said today that the evidence that the Iraqis have provided, if it's shown to be accurate, would fall under the extradition treaty that the two countries have. So it's certainly possible. They're not talking about trying him here for those crimes. They're just talking about sending him back to Iraq where he faces the potential of being executed if convicted.
Amin was represented by two federal defenders in court yesterday who said they had not had time to discuss the case at any length with him. A hearing is scheduled for this coming Monday in federal court. Well, in recent decades, communities in the Central Valley have made good progress toward improving what's known to be the worst air quality in the state. But new research reveals that now smoke from all these wildfires is undermining those gains. The California Report's Alex Hall has the story.
Dr. Praveen Budiga is an allergist who says his clinic in Fresno has gotten busier since the car fire broke out in Shasta County. even though that's 300 miles away.
But the fire really made a difference this year, and I've seen more and more kids this year, children, than I have over the years.
Dr. Boudiga is most concerned about fine particulate matter, or PM2.5, tiny particles in smoke that can get into your lungs and even your bloodstream.
Oh, it's really bad.
That's 14-year-old Harley Sarando. She's one of Dr. Boudiga's patients.
I feel like a lot of my friends, especially living down here in Fresno where they grew up, I feel like a lot of them have asthma like me as well.
We have the biggest challenge that any air district has in the nation.
San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District Program Manager John Klassen says geography is the main reason for the valley's air quality troubles. Nestled between the Sierra and coastal mountain ranges, the valley is a catch basin for smoke and smog.
But because it's got nowhere to go, it just continues to build up over time and concentrate.
The independent research group Climate Central found an overall decrease in the number of days per year when PM2.5 levels exceed federal standards in the Central Valley. But the proportion of those days occurring during the wildfire season is trending upward.
And so we're kind of like a bowl with a lid over the top.
And with climate change becoming a major factor in the size and intensity of fires, Central Valley residents will need to find ways to cope with increasing waves of smoke. For the California Report, I'm Alex Hall in Fresno.
Well, it has been a tough summer for wildfires. Hundreds of thousands of acres have burned, several thousand homes have been destroyed, and at least 11 people have died. But things seem to be turning the corner, at least for now. And here to give us an update on the fires burning around the state is CAL FIRE Battalion Chief Jonathan Cox. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi there.
So what's the status of some of the bigger fires burning throughout the state, the fires that we've been following all along? Let's start in the northern part of the state with the Mendocino Complex fire.
Yes, the Mendocino Complex fire is now obviously over 300,000 acres. The good news is we're up to over 76% containment now, which means some major strides have been made on the incident. And the fire that's burning kind of in the more remote areas of the northern part of the fire are starting to get some containment as well. The Carr fire is also starting to get some good containment, and that fire is now burnt over 200,000 acres. And it's 71% contained.
Okay, and moving over to the Ferguson fire, where are we with that one?
So the Ferguson fire, they've made good strides. It's now about 76,000 acres and 87% contained. There's solid containment being made there, and obviously less impacts to the community with the Yosemite Valley opening up.
Going down south, what about the Holy fire?
Yeah, the Holy fire, which is burning in Orange and Riverside counties, is now about 22,000 acres. It also has had some good strides made on containment. It's 78% contained. Suppression repair is underway, so they're fixing kind of some of the damage that's occurred down there. But overall, some good work is being made down in that area.
But, you know, we are just coming into what's often considered the worst part of the fire season. And I've got to ask you, how are the firefighters holding up knowing that we still got a couple months to go?
Yeah, so I definitely think that, all of us as firefighters have kind of mentally prepared that this is going to be a long haul this summer, and we still have a lot of summer left and fall as well. I think right now the opportunities that are being taken to rest firefighters that have been on the line for 14, 21 days is being taken wherever it can be across the state. Even if that's just to get home for 2 days and see the family, it's really the priority to get the rest and reset there. I think the underlying concern is that we're early on, and we're really at the mercy of Mother Nature on a lot of these fires. If we see another heat wave, or if we see some winds come through this fall, we definitely have the potential for more large fires in California.
That's CAL FIRE Battalion Chief Jonathan Cox. Meanwhile, state lawmakers and Governor Jerry Brown appear close to a deal to eliminate cash bail in California, but some criminal justice reform advocates say they will not support the compromise. Marisa Lagos from KQED's California Politics and Government Desk has more.
Changes to the bill, which has languished for nearly a year, haven't been finalized or released yet, as Senator Bob Hertzberg's office continues to negotiate with the governor's office and outside groups. But some public defenders and criminal justice reform groups, who have been among the most vocal bail reform proponents in California, say they've already decided not to support Senate Bill 10. They charge that the bill will give too much power to judges by letting them keep people in jail who are deemed a public safety threat. Currently, nearly all defendants can secure their release if they can afford bail set by the court. A final bill is expected to be unveiled in the coming days. For the California Report, I'm Marisa Lagos.
Support for the California Report comes from PaintCare. Through PaintCare, paint manufacturers make it easier for households and businesses to recycle leftover house paint with over 800 convenient drop-off locations around California. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems. And the James Irvine Foundation, expanding economic and political opportunity for Californians who are working but struggling with poverty. More at irvine.org.
On to the border now. Three California state senators want the nation's top leaders to apologize to immigrant children who were separated from their parents at the border. The largely symbolic joint resolution is planned for debate today in the state legislature. KPBS immigration reporter Jean Guerrero has more.
California Senator Kevin De Leon says the Trump administration is dragging its feet on family reunifications, with hundreds still separated.
They created the problem. They need to fix the problem and make sure there is clear accountability, that every single child, every single baby that is in the hands of the United States government falls safely in the hands of their mothers and fathers.
So the measure calls on the president and Congress to acknowledge the damage caused by family separations and for Congress to apologize for it. The proposed measure cites research by top health organizations showing long-term disruptions to children's brains. State Senator Richard Pan, who introduced the bill, likened the practice to Japanese internment.
The American Academy of Pediatrics has called it government-sanctioned child abuse, and so we should apologize to these children we have permanently harmed.
If the resolution is passed, the president and leaders of Congress will receive copies of it for consideration. For the California Report, I'm Jean Guerrero in San Diego.
Aretha Franklin has died. The Queen of Soul, she passed away this morning in her hometown of Detroit at the age of 76. It will all get said about this formidable woman. Greatest singer of all time, the awards, the respect, President Obama's inauguration performance with her big bow hat. Let us just say, we say a little prayer for you. Here she is in a canary yellow dress in the Palace Theater in Hollywood in 1968.
I run for the bus, while riding, I'm thinking of us, I'm saying I'm changing for you.
And that's the California Report for Thursday, August 16th, a production of KQED Public Radio. And remember, you can find past shows of the California Report at our podcast. You can find those wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Penny Nelson. Have a great day.